Brad, he's in our Touchpoints Rehab interview chair, state senator from Southington, also running for lieutenant governor, Joe Markley. Senator, good morning. Welcome to Brad and Dan.
Good morning. Good morning.
Nice to be with you.
Always a pleasure. And, Senator, you wrote I read it as a letter to the editor in the Republican American, but you're concerned about judicial activism and now the impending resignation of Chief Justice Chase T. Rogers of the 8-member Connecticut Supreme Court. What are your concerns?
Well, we have seen over the course of my lifetime, Dan, the judiciary at all levels, state and federal, make decisions that really ought to belong to the legislature where the people can have an influence on them. And it's been particularly bad here in Connecticut because we're a very liberal state and we've kind of been on the cutting edge of these kinds of social engineering issues that the judiciary likes to get involved in. And in this case, with the resignation of Chief Justice Rogers, this will mean that Dan Malloy will have appointed 6 of the 8 Supreme Court justices in his term in office. And that's something that the next governor, who I hope is a very different person than Dan Malloy, will be stuck with. And these people make the law for themselves. And this firearms appeal is a good example of that, that led me to write the letter.
Senator Markley, we're talking with the Republican from Southington. You know, when we look at the state of Connecticut overall, we got a very, very liberal state. So is that one of the big influences? I would think that is probably one of the reasons that we have a more liberal Supreme Court than we should have as far as we're concerned.
Well, yes, I think that's true. Although, you know the people of Connecticut about as well as anybody. There's an awful lot of people who are Democrats who are not really liberal.
You got it.
A good friend of ours years back, Bill O'Neill, fell in that category.
Did he ever? He sure did. He was a dear friend of mine. Great governor, too.
A great governor. I wish we had him back. I didn't appreciate him as much when we had him because I didn't know what was going to follow. but in that sense, you've got a lot of people that are fiscal conservatives and in some cases social conservatives, more or less, but vote Democratic because of cultural reasons, their families, when the migrations came over, Italian and Irish. Really, the Democratic Party was the party that welcomed them. Nowadays, we're in a different world, and those same people, by voting for Democratic politicians, are getting very liberal politicians and very liberal judges, far more liberal than the base of the party itself.
How do you influence that? How can you influence that as far as appointments go?
Well, I think that people have to vote for the other party. Of course, that's when it comes right down to it, if you don't like what the ruling party is doing, you've got to switch and vote for the other party. I never say that the Republicans are the answer to everything. I can be pretty disgusted with them too sometimes, but they're the alternative to what we've got. And what we've got is a Supreme Court now that is making laws on its own. And in this case, it's very clear in federal law that a firearms manufacturer can't be held liable for improper use of his product. The gun is not the murderer, it's the murderer that commits the crime. But this state Supreme Court has said, yes, we're going to allow the lawsuit to go forward, or we're going to hear the case to allow the lawsuit to go forward when there's really no question. And it's an extreme example, in my opinion, of a kind of judicial activism that's very dangerous.
Well, in this case, what can be done? I mean, the governor has obviously the power to nominate a replacement for Judge Rogers. What are you suggesting?
Well, I think that the legislature itself has to do its very best to be vigilant. It's tough when judges come before you. You tend to talk to them about their training and their experience more than their philosophy. And they aren't very forthcoming about their philosophy. All of them claim to abide by the Constitution and so forth. Again, I think the important thing is going to be to try to get a new governor in next year that will go in a different direction, that will appoint people that use the courts to protect rights when they are threatened, not to look into the Constitution and try to invent new rights. And so one reason I bring it up, because I want people to be aware of this as they start to think about who they might support for governor in the next year.
Well, you know, that's where it comes down to whether you're talking about a president of the United States or a governor. They obviously have the power to nominate, and it usually is a rubber stamp, particularly in the state of Connecticut. And that's where a governor or a president can have an effect, as you know, Senator, long after he or she has left office.
A tremendous effect. And I have to say, I think a lot of us have mixed feelings about the President Trump. I like some of the things he's done, and others concern me. But I think that his appointments to the bench have moved us in a healthier direction, and that's been one great success of his election. And I'm hoping to see something like that happen in the state of Connecticut as well.
Senator, hang in there. We're going to get back to you in just a moment. Senator Joe Markley joining us, Brad. Back with State Senator Joe Markley. He is a senator from the 16th District in Connecticut, and he recently wrote a letter to the editor that included his concern about Governor Malloy, when all is said and done, at the very least, is going to have appointed 6 of the 8 members on the state Supreme Court now that Chief Justice Chase Rogers has announced that she will resign. Now, Senator, educate us a bit, because you're vice chair of the Judiciary Committee. Does the nomination go before the Judiciary Committee?
Yes, there's a hearing on the committee where the nominee comes in and testifies and is questioned by the committee. The committee gets to vote on the nomination, and then it goes on to the to either house. If I remember correctly, Dan, I had it's a complicated process in Hartford, but I think only one of the two chambers has to approve in the Connecticut General Assembly.
Senator. Answer a question. If somebody comes before your committee, okay, and appointed by the governor, of course, and you turn them down, has that ever happened?
It has not happened in my experience, and I've only been on the Judiciary Committee this term, so actually only 1 year. I'm sure in the history of the state it's happened. I don't remember it happening. And it really, as things stand now, it would only happen on something that had to do with a flaw in the person. Something came up that indicated that a character problem or dishonesty or so forth. There really hasn't been much stomach for voting on nominees based on ideology.
Now, there has been some scuttlebutt that Judge Andrew McDonald, who is already on the bench, may be elevated to Chief Justice if nominated by Governor Malloy to serve as Chief Justice. Would you be comfortable with that?
No, absolutely not. He himself was a state senator, and I think that the idea of putting people who have been very involved in politics and in a partisan way into this kind of position on a court is troubling. You'd rather have judges come in that have spent their careers purely in the consideration of the law, and not in partisan squabbling. It would be very difficult for him to say that he looked at an issue without prejudice when, in his role as a legislator, he was having to take positions on issues every day.
So you're not comfortable with him serving on the bench now, then?
No, I wouldn't. No, I'm not comfortable with him serving on the bench. And I suppose I'd say that I don't know. I didn't serve with Andrew McDonald. He has a reputation as being an intelligent man. That's not surprising, but he also has a reputation as being more partisan, I would say, than usual, and he was very much an ally of Governor Malloy over the years, and there was a sense, I think, in which his elevation was considered something of a reward for the service that he had done to the governor politically over the years.
So you would definitely then be uncomfortable if the governor nominates him to become the next Chief Justice?
Yes, and I suppose, depending what the conversation was, that I would certainly be open to opposing that. Sometimes, too, you hope that, Dan, I'm not afraid to be a lonely vote in the legislature, but sometimes I feel like I'm banging my head against the wall. I'd like to see if there were others who shared my concern.
As long as this state, politically, is the way it is, and I don't see it. I've been here all my life. I don't see anything right now that can change it, or any Democrat that we have, like a Bill O'Neill was, a conservative, I just is that kind of a state. Do you see any difference?
Well, the state can be changed at any moment if the voters put somebody in who is determined to change it. And I think the Republicans need to put up a candidate who has a clear set of principles, who has the nerve and the will to follow through on them, and who has the skills to communicate to the people and explain what it is he believes. And if we got that, and if we picked up that handful of seats that we need to control the General Assembly, I think we could change direction quickly. The trouble on the Democratic side is the Bill O'Neills of the world have just about been either driven out of the party or they've passed on. They're just not there anymore. One might point to my friend Joan Hartley in Waterbury, but only because she's so singular in being a genuine moderate and somebody who's able to buck the party. But there's very few left in the Democratic Party. I don't think we're going to get the answer from that side of the aisle.
Senator, the political landscape is really changing before our very eyes. Your hometown of Southington went from Republican to Democrat. What do you make of this?
Well, in Southington, I'd have to say I think it was local issues, and I think that's the case in most of the changes throughout the state. The Republicans had control in Southington for 8 years, which is a long stretch, and people forget that Southington is a solidly Democratic town by voter registration. And over the years, you do things that dissatisfy one group or another. There's a saying in politics that I think is very illuminating. Yeah, they say your friends come and go, but your enemies accumulate.
And I think I like that one.
That's a good one to keep in mind. Yeah. And I think that in some ways that's what happened to us in Southington. And there were some internal divisions in the party. And in different down in Fairfield County, I think there might have been a little bit more of Trump activating the Democrats and the liberals. But I think that's less the case in the rest of the state. I think the local elections, by and large, center on local issues.
What do you anticipate 2018 being?
If you like politics, it's going to be a year full of politics. We have 11 serious candidates for governor on the Republican side. And for the first time in 30 years, there is not a clear front runner. I really couldn't predict which one is going to emerge, and only the process is going to tell us who, and the process hopefully will give us the strongest candidate. The Democrats, I think, are still hoping to have more candidates enter their field. I don't think they have a strong candidate yet, and now that Nancy Wyman has decided not to run, I think some other people are going to be thinking about it. So there's going to be a lot of politics. I encourage people not to turn away from it. I know it can get to be a little ugly and a little tiresome, but it's a very important decision that folks are going to have to make in the fall of 2018. If we're going to survive as a state, we've got to pick a good person for governor. And that's the job of the people of Connecticut.
You know, Senator, the mayor of New Britain says, and that's Aaron Stewart, for those who don't know, she says that the next governor of the state of Connecticut has yet to announce his or her candidacy. Would you agree with that statement?
I think that on the Republican side, I don't expect a lot more candidates. I'm not saying anything secret if I say that the big question is whether Themis Claridis, the House Minority Leader, may decide to run. I assume that's going to be determined in the next couple of weeks. Beyond that, I don't know that there's a big candidate yet to come in on the Republican side. On the Democratic side, I couldn't say. Obviously, I don't know what's going on within the party quite as well. But I wouldn't be surprised if a serious candidate doesn't come in that isn't there now. They can't wait much longer, though. I think you have to have your campaign underway before the end of the year if you're hoping to get the nomination.
No question.
Going to be interesting. Going to be interesting. Hey, thanks a million for being with us
My
this
pleasure.
Morning, Senator.
Thanks, Senator. Happy Thanksgiving.